Hebrews chapter 10. Hallelujah. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you will receive the promise.
Hallelujah.
For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father God, that there is utterance in the house. God, that you by your Holy Spirit would burn these words into our heart, that it would produce fruit and maturity. God, that it would cause great faith to rise up in your people. Father, that as we put action to our faith, Lord, that you manifest every good and perfect gift that you have waiting for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Well, it is good to be here.
Amen.
The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I don't know about you, but I look forward to seeing your bright, smiling faces.
Amen.
And I'm so appreciative of the faithful ones that have been here week in, week out, year in, year out. I'm just grateful. I'm grateful. And you guys are just an awesome group. And as I was reading this verse in preparation for today's sermon, it says, you know, the just will live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul's not does not have pleasure in him. Verse 39 says, but we are not of those who draw back. And I'm so thankful that Westchester Family Church is not of those who draw back.
Amen.
We're pushing forward. We're believing God. And we're seeing God do things. And some things you don't see right away. But I'm telling you, God is at work. And we are thankful and we are grateful.
Amen.
So we've been talking about living a faith life. We are talking about living a faith life, and we began over there 2 weeks ago in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John went up to the temple to the hour to pray, and there was the lame man who was laid at the gate called Beautiful, and they said, gold and silver have I none, but what I have I give you, rise and walk in the name of Jesus. We went on to talk about how faith has to do with a three-part, if you will, three parts that have to be intact if we want strong faith. And that is, number one, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And if you want strong faith, it's not just a relationship with Jesus Christ, but referencing back to several weeks ago, Reverend Ennis brought to you an awesome message about how the Word of God is so vital in developing strong faith, right? So the second element to living this faith life is to be a person of the Word of God. And if we're a person of the Word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 tells us that's how faith comes. It's how faith rises up in our heart, because we keep hearing and hearing and hearing. It's an ongoing action. It's not a one-time occurrence. It's just because you read that verse once doesn't mean you got all the light that's there, all the revelation that's there, all the rhema. That's the spoken word of God by the Holy Spirit into your spirit. You haven't gotten all of that by just glossing over it one time.
No.
Right? That's why when Kenneth Hagin used to talk about when people would get sick, then they scrambled for the healing scriptures. He said you should be feeding along the lines of healing all the time. So that when you get sick, it just comes up in you.
Right.
What is it? That faith just kind of, or when the symptoms try to come on you, that faith just comes up inside of you. You're like, no, no, devil, I'm not taking this. I'm not lying down. I don't care what the doctor says. Come on. And again, we have respect for medicine. And we don't, you know, negate everything they say. But what we are saying is this: God's word is a higher truth, right? His word is a higher truth. So it might be factual that they give you a diagnosis down here. That's on this level, right? That's at human level, right? But the higher truth is what? By his stripes I'm healed. He sent his word and healed them. Hallelujah. The healing power of God is working mightily in my body. What are you doing? You are rehearsing and you are speaking what God says. And so as we talked about those three elements, I gave you the first two again, just by way of review. It is that having that personal relationship with Christ, being born again by the Spirit of God. There is only one way to heaven. Jesus said it, so don't get mad at me. Okay? Jesus was the one who said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. I'm a good idea. I'm a good philosophy. He didn't say any of that. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me.
Amen.
So he is the way. So when we have that relationship with Christ intact, we've been born again by the Spirit of God. Romans 10, 9 and 10 has been just solidified in our heart. I believed in my heart. I confessed with my mouth. And then the second thing was being a person of the Word. Let the Word of God dwell in my heart. Why? The psalmist wrote it and said that I might not sin against God. If we get the Word of God in our heart, then we're not going to be stumbling in the dark. Because the Word of God is light. It's truth. And so then the third thing was God's people. God's people. What's our relationship like with God's people? Our relationship has to be intact with God's people. If we want strong faith, I'm talking about strong faith today. I'm talking to people who have strong faith, right? You're here. You're connected with God's people. Maybe you're connecting online. I'm telling you, connecting and with God's people, there is a great power that comes from connecting with God's people. This morning in pre-service prayer, we were praying, and we prayed Matthew 18 and 19. If any two of you gathered together in my name shall ask anything, it shall be done. For where there are two or more gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. What does that scripture mean? It is talking about God manifesting himself in a different dimension. Now, when we got born again, we know that the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of us. Right? So we bring Jesus wherever we go. So it's not like I walked into a room and Jesus is not there. But when I walk into a room and I see Sister Valley, right? Or I see my brother Miguel, or I see Andrew, or I see Brother Silvio, or I see Randy, or I see Reverend Christine, when I walk into a room, the God on the inside of them, the greater one on the inside of them, and the greater one on the inside of me.
That's right.
Ooh. That's a different manifestation. And when you intentionally understand that, your love walk gets a whole lot better. Because you realize there is something greater than me being offended. There is something greater than me being upset about something. And by the way, this is just a freebie. It's not in my notes. Frustration does not mean you're in faith if you're frustrated about something. We want to develop great faith. And so last week, then I brought to you Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And I took you over there to, let's go ahead and turn over to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, and then we're going to come back to Hebrews 10, and that's where we're going to camp out for the rest of this portion of the sermon. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't God good all the time? Amen. Amen. So Isaiah chapter 40 talks about waiting on the Lord. And perhaps you have seen that verse or used that verse. And I want to look at it in a different light, because I think sometimes we get a little bit lazy. We get a little bit lazy about this. All right. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 40.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. It's in my notes here. I printed it out this time, and now I'm still having trouble finding it, so give me one moment. Thank you.
Verse
31. 31, thank you. So let's go ahead and go there. Isaiah 40. Verse 31. Thank you, Lord. And it says, Jesus, they that wait, on the Lord.
Amen.
And this scripture, I think that because of the English word that is associated with waiting, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Hallelujah.
All right. So waiting. How many of you have ever heard, or you've said it yourself, I'm just waiting on God?
Yes.
Right?
That's true.
I've done it.
Yes.
So I'm not casting stones at anybody. But I wanna challenge us a little bit on the meaning of this word, wait.
Okay.
In the Hebrew word, it's kwava.
Okay.
It actually means to gather.
Okay.
It is an action verb. It is not a passive, I'm just hanging out, waiting for God to do it all. Waiting for God to do it all. Because if he wants it, it'll be. Have you ever heard that one?
Yes.
It sounds good. Sounds even religious. Right? But you know, God wants a whole lot of things that aren't. His desire is that we would fellowship with him. His desire is that we would pray without ceasing. Hello? Isn't that in the scripture? Right? Pray without ceasing, for this is what? The will of God. Well, hello. If that's his will, if I'm not praying without ceasing, guess what? He's not making me do it, is he? There's a lot of things in this world that are not God's will. And they still happen. So I think one of the greatest deterrents of our faith is oftentimes kind of backing up and just kind of getting a little bit lazy and sliding into, well, if God wants it, it'll be. Or I'm just waiting on the Lord. Now, if you really are waiting on the Lord, then you're gathering. You're gathering. What are you doing? You're gathering strength.
Yes.
You are, guess what this word also means? Entwining. Entwining like you entwine a rope. We want great faith. And if we are not actually fellowshipping with God and his word, then we're not actually waiting on God, are we? We might be using the right religious terminology, but we might be a little passive in our faith, a little bit inactive in our faith. And God's saying, I want my people to be active in their faith. We went over there in the book of James, and we had, in the first segment of this series, we talked about how faith without works is dead. So if faith without works is dead, right, that means it's no action. There's no life in it. There's no action, there's no life in it. Mm-hmm. It's possible for us, and I'm not beating you up here. I want you to get good things out of this. Mm-hmm. I want you to walk away and go, man, I'm glad I heard this today. Because I believe that God has an answer if that's you. If you're checking yourself out right now and mm-hmm. saying, hey, there's an area of my life where, you know, I thought I was in faith, but I was actually in frustration. Or I thought I was in faith, and I was actually just kind of passively sitting back and watching things happen. God is wanting us to be active in our faith, not a dead faith, but an active faith. Wow. So notice what it says there in Isaiah 40, when it says, and those that wait on the Lord entwine themselves, that's a relationship with him, entwine themselves with his life. With what he's all about. Mm-hmm. Now I have this mm-hmm. I have this rope here. Okay. And I'm going to challenge our thought process just a bit. Mm. All right, this is a big rope. Mm-hmm. And it's made up of a lot of little strands that have been intertwined and entwined in different directions. This rope, I would venture to say, could hold a pretty big boat up against a dock or anchor, whatever it might be. In fact, it is heavy.
Yeah.
You know, I had forgotten it at the house this morning, and Pastor Christine had to get it. And when she was walking up the step, she was like, "Can you come get this?" You know, she didn't say it. She gave me the wife look. Like, would you please get this from me? Because it does. It weighs a lot. It's heavy. But this is a process. And if you study how rope is made one strand at a time. Mm. Now, for some of you, that's clicking right now. They that wait on the Lord, one strand at a time.
Hallelujah.
1 5-minute moment with God at a time.
Mm-hmm.
One scripture
Amen.
That you read at a time.
Amen.
We want great faith so that faith like this mm-hmm. can pull from the unseen realm into the seen realm to see what God will do.
Yeah.
Pastor Christine was talking about the greatest miracle that can ever happen, to see the power of God mm-hmm. come on somebody's life and to watch them get born again.
Yeah.
And you know what it takes? Somebody stepping out in faith mm-hmm. to actually see that miracle happen. God's not, he's not going to just automatically appear to a bunch of people and see them get saved. He already did that. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus walked on this earth and then he commissioned us. So if we want to see action, remember I quoted Reverend Kenneth Hagin when he says, faith gives action to the power. Right?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you're doing, there's some kind of action to the power that is present to bring salvation to somebody first and foremost. But what about healing? What about provision? What about any one of those things that we, the just shall live by faith? We don't shrink back, but we live by faith. So that means we live by action. You know, I have here, this is actually, this is strand. It's called jute, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And this is made the same way the big rope that I just held in front of you is made.
Mm-hmm.
One strand at a time. Now I'm going to challenge you a little bit because, you know, it doesn't take much. It does not take much to see much. What do I mean by that? Well, Jesus said, if you just had a little bit of faith,
right.
just a speck of faith, you could move a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at the rope, I don't want you to look at the rope and say, oh, it'd take me years to develop this kind of rope faith.
Jesus. Well,
you don't need this kind of rope faith as long as you are gathering, as long as you are intertwining, as long as you are fellowshipping with the Master, and you are in just eating His Word on the inside, listening to His Word, meditating on His Word. Then what happens? Strength starts to rise. Ooh, strength rises, and you can soar. You can soar like an eagle above the problems, above the challenges that life brings us. All of us have those. Every last one of us have them. But if we would gather ourselves, we would entwine ourselves so that His strength becomes our strength. And now it's no longer some tiny little thread, but it is a strength that can do great things. It can move mountains. It can see bodies healed. It can see family members who are lost come to know Christ. It can see breakthroughs financially, in business, in career, whatever the case may be. It is about just intertwining ourselves with Him. The in Him realities are so powerful. That's the reason why I'm always referencing them. Who we are in Christ is that intertwined life with Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul could say, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. 1 John 4:4, the greater one who lives on the inside of me, the greater one is greater than he that is in the world. Now go back, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. There is some rich, I'm going to connect the dots here a little bit for you. There's some rich truths here in Hebrews chapter 10. And I kind of got so happy about this. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. At first, I usually go to sleep between 12 and 1 on Saturday nights. And I usually after going to work and then studying and whatnot, I got up early yesterday, studied before I went to work, and then just started meditating on it all day long. Just started meditating on this idea of intertwining my life with His. Intertwining my life with His. And seeing Him just building that faith. Now, don't get me wrong. I want to see my faith like this. How about you? But it's attainable. Strong faith. Strong faith. You can have it. You can have that kind of strong faith. When you think of people in your life, Christians that have that strong faith, that nothing seemed to shake them, that nothing seemed to bother them, that they were intertwined with God to the point that nothing else mattered. The fear of death doesn't matter. The fear of man doesn't matter. They don't care what people think of them anymore. They are just, I am just in with God. I'm in with God. When we are at that level, then it doesn't matter. Because the fear of death is torment. But when you kind of lose that, then you could be like people who are not afraid. That's people who are have great faith are people who are not afraid. Why? Perfect love casts out fear. Ooh. Fear can't stay. Anxiety, worry. Oh no, what are we going to do? The election's coming. What's going to happen? The country's going to just crumble. What's going to happen? Mm-hmm. Turn off the news if you need to. Jesus is Lord. And neither one is going to save America. Jesus. Right? And this country needs a revival. That's one thing for sure. So as you're praying for this nation, just pray for the nation. Pray for people to come to know Christ, to intertwine their life with Him, to get in the Word of God and let the Word of God renew their thinking, their thought process, so that what they say, what they do, how they act is reflective of Jesus. Man, I'll tell you, that's the way to live. That's the way to live, because then it doesn't matter what happens tomorrow. Doesn't matter what happens tomorrow. My source is not my 401k. My source is not my job. My source is not any of that. My source is definitely not the government. All right? And so my source isn't any of that. My source of peace comes from knowing God, having my life intertwined with Him. That's where my peace comes from. That's where my power comes from. My power to live is really His power. Because it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. So, Hebrews chapter 10. Get so excited. This is so good. We get to a point where in the Word of God speaks right where we're at. And we're going to pick up in verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness. Where do we get boldness? How do you become so bold that you don't care what people think of you? I'll tell you, it's real simple. When you know God's with you. When you know the greater one on the inside is with you. Oof. When you know the greater one on the inside is with you. So when you open your mouth, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He'll give you the words.
Amen.
He'll give you the words.
Hallelujah.
And His presence shows up.
Hallelujah.
The power of God shows up when you step out. Therefore, having boldness. Why do we have boldness? Because we know that our sins have been wiped away. We enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. We're talking about a living faith. By a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, verse 22, let us draw near. Draw near. Draw near with a true heart, with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23. Let us hold fast. That means hang on. Hang on to the confession of our hope without wavering. Without being double-minded. James calls it being double-minded. Without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. He's faithful. Turn to your neighbor and say, He's faithful. Oh man, this is... He's faithful. He says what He says and He does what He says. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and what? Good works. Guess what? We're not saved by good works. I've told you, but we are saved unto good works.
Amen.
That are prepared for us in advance. We know that from Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15. But as we keep on going, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus is coming back. And we are to encourage one another. Because I venture to say that when we intertwine our lives with His, our lives with His Word, and our lives with His people, there is a strength and there is an anointing in the body of Christ that will cause every cancer to go, every ailment to go, every demonic foe to literally fall off and whimper and run in terror. God is asking us to be people of faith who trust Him. How do you trust Him? You spend time with Him. Your life is intertwined. You're gathering. What are you gathering? You're gathering His life to your life. Giving Him your brokenness and letting Him take and put His strength on the inside of you. Putting His faith on the inside of you. You don't have to worry about your faith. It's His faith that comes up. It comes up on the inside. Your faith becomes His faith. Your life is intertwined in His. You want great faith? Intertwine your life with Him. Intertwine your life with His Word. Intertwine your life with His people. Because you will you will gain strength from one another that you couldn't get any other way. That you, when we come together, there is a strength that happens in this place. When we come together, there is an anointing, there is a strength that is here in this place. People often say Westchester Family Church is the lovey-dovey church. We love each other. We see that God has brought us from various backgrounds and nationalities together, and I don't believe he's finished yet. And so as we come together, that strength is evident. Our lives become intertwined, one thread at a time. And God is able to use that in the lives of those that need Christ, in a community that needs Christ, in a world that is broken and searching desperately for answers. God is asking us to step up. Notice what it says here, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as some are in the manner of doing, but all the more as you see the day approaching. Verse 26, for if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there's no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. He's contrasting what it would be like if you just went and turned your back. If you went and turned your back on God's goodness and you broke the fellowship with God. Notice what happens. He says, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be through the worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? Counted the blood of the covenant by which was sacrificed a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. So, in other words, I'm not looking to see how close I can get.
Right.
You know, oh, well, let me just kind of toy around over here and sin. No, I don't want that. I don't want that. I want to be close to him. I want to have my life intertwined with him. And you keep going. He says this, but recall the former days. Think about it. In other words, think about what you were like after you were illuminated and you endured a struggle. You suffered because of Christ. When you suffer because of Christ, when people revile you, mock you. I was mocked. I was reviled. Even sometimes now, people snicker at me at work. I don't really care. Oh, the preacher boy. Oh, I better not cuss in front of you. All right? I know what that's like. I know what it's like when I go to the table at the break room and they're talking about something and then they hush up and change the subject. I know what that's like. You feel kind of outside. I don't care. Because when they're in trouble, guess what? They come to me. I was wondering if you could pray for me. That's exactly what happens when people know you're marked. And notice what it says here. But recall the former days in verse 32, when you were illuminated, you endured with a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle by both reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. In other words, you became companions, right? And for you who had compassion on me in my chains, joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Guess what? They are looking at life as temporary. They're not looking at it as, oh, this is so permanent. This is where we started our service today, or at least this portion of our service. Verse 35, because of all of what was just said, don't cast away your confidence. Don't cast away your confidence. If you're walking with God, you've intertwined your life with him, don't cast that away. It's not worth it. You know, one of the best testimonies you could possibly have is, I received Christ when I was a kid and never walked away. That's a powerful testimony. That's a powerful testimony. I received Christ when I was a kid and I never walked away. That is a powerful testimony. That's the power of this. And then he says this, don't cast away your confidence because there's a great reward. There's a great reward for after you, for you have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You've done the will of God. In other words, when he whispered to you to do that, you did it. When he told you to step out in faith, you did it. When he told you to, and it didn't even make sense. Think about it. When Peter was bid by Jesus walking on the water, right? Think about that just for a second. There was great reward for him stepping out of the boat. He got rebuked when he took his eyes off of Jesus, when he stopped being intertwined for a split second. He sank. But aren't you glad the great mercy of God?
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Jesus reached his hand down in, pulled him up. That's what he does with us. You have need of endurance, so after you've done the will of God, not just, oh, I'm being persecuted at work, and yet your lifestyle doesn't match up with a Christian. That's where this meets. And he says this, after you've done the will of God, you may receive what? The promise. The results of your faith. The manifestation of what you've been believing for. For yet in a little while, and he who is coming will come and not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of our soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the proof, the title deed. For the elders obtained a good testimony by it. I don't know about you, but I see great faith in every one of you. Because the means to get it is real simple. It's we gather. We intertwine. We intertwine into our lives with his so that our life, our earthly life, is hidden in God. So that they only see Jesus. I've said this in recent months, that one of the greatest compliments you could give anybody is, I see Jesus in you. I see my Savior in you. The actions that you just took. The way that you just treated this situation. The way you just responded to this. I see Jesus in you. I see Jesus in you. Amen. Would that be a prayer for every one of us that people would see Jesus in us? Mm-hmm. They wouldn't just see, oh, that's Doug. Yeah, you got to just kind of take him with a grain of salt. No. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be better that they see Jesus? His character? Mm-hmm. His passion? His compassion? His confidence, not afraid. Amen?
Amen.
Not afraid. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
The just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. The just shall live by faith. God is asking us to be people of action. Action. That we would put action to our faith. When we put action to our faith, it gives action to the power of God. When we go up to that person we've been praying for, or maybe even a total stranger, and God prompts you and says, hey, do you know Jesus? What happens right then and there? The power of God manifests. The power of God manifests in that moment. to save that one. To save that one. And when we do that, what are we doing? We're stepping out in faith. We hear when Jesus says go. Mm-hmm. We hear when he says speak. We hear when he says give like you've never given before. When serve like you've never served before. That's a passion that rises up on the inside. That's a drive that says, I've got to get to church. I don't have to go do something at church. I get to go do something because it's a privilege to serve God's people. And I'm just so passionate that God is rekindling all of us in that same vein. And you are not those who've shrunk back. You have been there. And you've shown up, and you've served with joy, you've served with gladness, and you've shown up. Last year we did the ukulele band, and it was snowing, raining, mud, something. Yeah. I don't remember what it was. It was cold, and there was a tent, and we're tromping around in mud, and it was wet. We get to shine the light. We get to. Ha! Isn't that awesome? I get to. I don't have to. Because God has given us free moral choice. You don't have to. You get to. Ha ha! That changes everything. And when you intertwine your life with His, He puts the desires in your heart. He puts them there. Those desires, He puts them there. Those dreams that you have, He puts them there. They're big dreams. They're bigger than you. But aren't you glad that you have the ability to have great, great faith? You can see your faith getting stronger and stronger and stronger, one strand at a time.
Yes.
One moment at a time. One scripture at a time. And He gets all the glory. All the glory. All the glory. Oh. Because then you can, and it's not presumptuous to believe this, you can be like the Apostle Paul and you can say, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. That's why he wasn't afraid to die. That's why he wasn't afraid of what people would say. The man got stones thrown at him. Viper bit him. I mean, and he just kept on going. He kept on going. At one point he says, you know, it would be better to go to heaven. But it's better for you that I stay. That's how much his life was intertwined. This week, you've got an assignment. One strand at a time. One scripture. One 5-minute time frame, whatever it is, you're gathering. They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Amen. Praise God. This morning, what I'm going to do to close the service is we're going to give everybody a strand of jute. If I can have some help. Making sure everybody gets one of these. Thank you. Just as a reminder this week, use it as a bookmark. Put it in your Bible. Put it somewhere where it would remind you. Remind you.
I got it. Thank you.
The rope making process is pretty interesting. You're holding jute in your hand. This is made from a plant. If you grew up in a warm climate, the Caribbean, India, maybe South America, the plant grows, and when they harvest it to make twine, rope, what they do is they dry it out and they strip it. They take out all the impurities, and they take a knife and they just take out all the impurities, the pieces that are not going to do well to make rope. And then they soak it in water. Hallelujah. Needs to be washed. Needs to be washed. And then when it's dried out, they start twining it together and spinning it together to make this, and then these into a larger rope, into a larger rope, and into a larger rope. And then in many countries and in many places, especially in the early ancient times, they would take oil to make it stronger. Aren't you glad the Holy Ghost comes on us? And they coat it with oil to make it last longer and to make it stronger. And that rope then, they say that the ropes actually helped them build the pyramids in Egypt. So take this with you this week. Your assignment is to intertwine your life with God, one scripture at a time, one verse at a time. Watch faith rise up in your heart, because you're not shrinking back, but you're going forward. Step out in faith in those moments where God says, open your mouth and speak. Lead that one to the Lord. Say, do you know the Lord? Look for that opportunity to have that conversation. God will do it, and he'll be glorified. Amen? All right, every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, I've just simply challenged all of us to have a life of strong faith. It starts with a relationship with you, relationship with your word, and a relationship with your people. Father, I thank you that as you help us today to do a self-inventory, maybe there's some areas that you need to concentrate on and give it to the Lord in those times of prayer to find those Bible verses to make you stronger in that area. Maybe it's the love walk. Maybe it's the forgiveness. Maybe it's in the area of giving, serving. Whatever it is, give God that portion of your life. Once again, let him mold you. Wash over with the water of the word to make you pliable, to twine you into his life, to be stronger and stronger in the name of Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the first step. To know the Lord Jesus is to be born again. It's to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, and that he was raised from the dead for you. And if that's you, you can receive that forgiveness by faith and call Jesus your Lord and Savior. And I'm just going to wait for a moment. Perhaps you need to do that and you're in this place. Or perhaps you're watching online and you need to do that. You need to accept his forgiveness in your life. Maybe you've been away from God and you've known him, but it's time to come back home and just rekindle that relationship with your Heavenly Father. If that's you, you can raise your hand in this place, or perhaps you're online and you're coming back to the Lord. We're going to pray a simple prayer together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead. I receive his forgiveness, and I bow my knee and call Jesus my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we'd like to know about it. We want to encourage you. Tell somebody, I received Christ. Tell somebody. If you recommitted your life to Christ, tell somebody. Message us on Facebook. We'd like to send you some things to help you in your walk with God. Make sure that you take the strand with you this week to remind you. And come back next week. And I believe that God is going to continue to build on our faith as we continue to focus in on our faith life. That we're walking by faith. And this walk by faith is a blessed life. Amen? Amen. All right, let's stand right now. Let's have our sending out verse. If you need special prayer for anything, I'm going to be available after the service to pray for anybody. If you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, I'll be here. If you need healing, I'll be here to pray for you. Praise God. Let's have our sending out verse right now. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you. We'll see you next time.